no matter what the causes or the complicated economic problems associated with it, is it a tragic story. Arizona, the state house, decided to eliminate Medicaid funding for some kind of organ transplants, and that's resulted, some say directly, in the death of two patients who were waiting for transplants. Tucson's University Medical Center confirmed yesterday a patient who was refused a liver transplant because of budget cuts has died. A spokeswoman from the hospital said the death was most likely due to the defunding of the transplant. That's according to the Arizona Daily Star. That patient was the second Arizonan to die after state Medicaid refused to pay the bill for about 100 or so organ seekers. The cuts are meant to save the strapped state. Obviously, the state is dealing with a deficit, as so many states are, of about $4.5 million a year is what they say they'll save by cutting off these organ transplants. Joining us now is Randy Shepard. He's a former plumber and father of three in Mesa, Arizona, waiting for a heart transplant, removed from the transplant list because of these funding cuts. Good morning, Randy.
Good morning.
Help me understand your situation. As I understand, your transplant operation would cost about $600,000. Is that right?
That's correct.
But most of it is covered by Medicaid, all except a remaining $120,000, which, because of these budget cuts, you have to cover yourself.
Yeah, originally Access was going to cover the entire operation. The Medicaid is a different route that I've had to explore and try and go through since Access made the cuts.
So you actually had to go through a period of time in which you were covered, you were set to go, you were going to get a life-saving heart transplant, and then someone made a call and said, sorry, the state house just passed a budget cut and you're not covered anymore.
That's correct. I was actually on the list for 14 months, and I was told that as of July of last year, about the same time that I was told that these budget cuts were coming, I was told that barring some emergency, that I would be the next person of my body size and blood type to receive the heart. And so it was basically a game of if a heart becomes available before October 1st, it's yours. And if it doesn't, then there's going to be a period where we can't help you and you need to find a different way to pay for it.
All right. Joining us also is Lynn Coughlin Sampson, executive director of NTAF. That's the National Transplant Assistance Fund in Pennsylvania. And Lynn, your organization is trying to help Randy come up with that $120,000 he needs in order to pay for a heart transplant.
That's right. That's right. First of all, thanks so much for having me. Yes, it is tragic. There are so many out-of-pocket costs that are associated with transplant in any event. And then on top of that, with these budget cuts, to have these patients having to find funding for the actual transplant itself is just, you know, it is financially crushing. And we hope to help with those financial expenses through community-based fundraising.
Where is the problem here, Lynn? I'm sure you can understand legislators in Arizona who are dealing with a multi-million dollar, hundreds of millions of dollars of a deficit, trying to find places in the budget that they can cut. Where is the fall down? Is it on a political level? Is it the actual cost of the transplant? Is it the cost of these kind of medical procedures? Is the health care bill going to fix the structure of our health insurance system?
Well, that is obviously a huge and loaded question. What I can say is that I think one of the things that is not understood is in cases like Mr. Shepard's and all these other people, there are so many costs for medical treatment if you don't give people a transplant. The transplants often end up saving the government money because people aren't going in and out of the hospital for complications related to their disease that go away when they have the transplant. And that's a really big picture thing, is what does cost more, the transplant or not having the transplant? And I think it just comes down to a matter of dignity and of, you know, what is the right thing to do for human beings. We try to use the community's hope of a second chance to supplement what either private insurance or what government provides, but now we're trying to get communities to pay for these transplants, and it's really challenging.
Well, but whether it costs more to have the transplant or costs more to not have the transplant varies from case to case. I guess The question really is, how do you respond to people who say that way too much money is invested in end-of-life treatments, and it's probably fair to say that a heart transplant comes closer to the end of someone's life than the beginning of someone's life? A line has to be drawn somewhere. It can't purely be at the vagaries of the market or public support.
Right, right. Well, there are a lot of heart and other transplants, many, 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 that happen in younger people. So if there, I don't know if there is or there isn't, but if there's a perception that most transplants happen in older people, I think that's probably not accurate. But I think that it comes down to basically the value of human life. We as an organization I don't know when you take a position of when it's worth it and when it's not, but, you know, if any politicians were in the position where they needed the transplant, I can assure you that they would feel that funding was appropriate for them, I'm sure, at that point.
Well, Randy, let me ask you. You have now, as I understand, raised half of what you need. You've raised $60,000 of the $120,000 that you need to pay for this transplant, right?
That's correct, and thanks in large part to the NTAF, yes.
Well, and if you raise this money, are you assured that you there's a heart waiting for you, that you will be able to go forward with a heart transplant operation?
I don't know that that's ever a surety, but the fact that I'll have a fighting chance, that, and even if I were to get one, there's no guarantee that it's going to save my life. My 20-year survival rate has been placed at about 80% if I get the transplant. So it's certainly not an end-of-life issue for me, and it's not something that's an option for me. It's if I want to see my kids grow old, if I want to see my grandkids, well, you know, this is what we have to do.
If you get a heart transplant, you have about 20 years more.
I have about an 80% chance to go for 20 years. From what I've learned and what I've found out, there are people who've had theirs for 30 plus years, and I don't think there's a shelf life or a warranty on it once I get it.
Lynn, what were you going to say?
And what I understand in Arizona is they cut back on certain transplants because there was not a great life expectancy after the transplant. And then you hear what Randy's saying about a 20-year life expectancy, and that seems like a pretty good investment considering how many times, you know, people like Randy might end up in the hospital if they don't have a transplant.
In the end, the budget cuts are saving the state of Arizona, about $1.4 million. The rest of those savings are from federal matching funds, so $1.4 million would restore that transplant program. That was Lynn Coughlin Sampson, Executive Director of NTAF, the National Transplant Assistance Fund in Pennsylvania. And Randy Shepard joined us as well, a former plumber, needs a heart transplant and was removed from that transplant list because of budget cuts in Medicaid funding in the state of Arizona. Thank you so much to both of you.
Thanks so much for having us.